Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 172, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that of course helps us out and helps the podcast keep on going. With me today is my co-host Derek. What's up, Derek?
What's up, Bob? How we doing?
Good, man. We survived April Fools. There's a lot of a lot of fake tech products flying around.
Yeah, it's kind of a dangerous day for the tech industry.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because some of them you kind of wish were true, and some of them are just funny in general. I don't know if you saw any of them. I did like Fantex had their cheese grater, which is kind of funny.
I mean, it's not a bad idea, you know. Like
I saw it and I was like, well, it's, you know, it's Fantex quality. It's probably better than normal cheese graters. Better than normal
cheese grater. Not only that, but I was like looking at the design of it, and I'm like, you know, that actually looks kind of cool too. Like,
yeah, I put that in my kitchen. You know, we had the Top Ramen headphones from HyperX.
Oh, yeah.
Corsair had their own game launcher, which launched all of your other game launchers.
Dude.
I think they capitalize the most on what everybody has been bitching about in the industry is like all these different game launchers. So that was really funny.
Yeah, Corsair has their finger on the pulse, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And what, Nvidia had their hologram thing. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones, but there were some good ones. We didn't really do a April Fool's joke at all.
And we usually just report them.
Yeah. So. Really funny stuff. If you haven't seen them, they're all over social media. So definitely check that out. But we'll jump into reviews this week, and we'll start with a really awesome case, one that we saw at CES 2018. And it was had one feature that no other case that we've seen before had. And it was massive. This is the Inwin 915, and it is a huge case. So it is a full tower. It's going to fit extended ATX and all of that fun stuff. But the big thing about it is that it has a motorized top vent. So the top of the case will actually lift up automatically when you power the system on and close when you power the system off. There's also a button that allows you to toggle it up or down. It's super cool. Again, we haven't seen another case that has this feature. That brings it into the cost of this case, which is very, very expensive. It's around $450. So it's not a cheap case by any means. It is a high quality case. So the case is kind of designed with these front and back curved panels, and these panels are thick aluminum.
Yeah.
And then you have tempered glass on both sides as well as the top. And then the interior is steel construction.
Is it really but steel?
Yeah, that's
kind of a surprise for a case this expensive.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's an expensive case. But it is huge. It's going to fit extended ATX motherboards, multiple graphics cards. It is a full tower in the fact that it has 8 expansion slots, not 7. So you have all that. It can fit the longest power supplies, everything that you want. Plenty of room for water cooling. So the front, you can fit a 360mm radiator. Same with the top. Up to 12 hard drives in there too. Just a lot of space.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's great to build in because you have all that space. It looks really cool. It's very unique case. But like I said, it is expensive. $450 is a lot to drop on a case. Again, this case has those really unique features that, like I said, that top vent is just cool. I mean, it's just, you know, no, you're not going to find another case that has a motorized top vent, but is that worth the money? Especially when, you know, there's
really
other cases that are in the 250 range that look just as good, have tempered glass. They come with RGB fans. This comes with no fans at all.
Zero fans.
Zero fans.
Dude, a $450 case with no fans. What is, is this case ledge?
So those are the downfalls. I think it is really unique and really cool. And this is going to be a specific build for somebody. This isn't just a case that anybody's going to buy. you know, if you're doing a build or a theme build around this case, I could see you picking it up. Or if, you know, if this is the time where you're building that new system, and this is the case that you want, you know, and you're dropping, you know, three grand or something like that. Mm-hmm. This is a case that you're going to get, but it's not going to be the average person's case.
No.
The average person spending $100 on a case, this isn't it. But it has really unique features. And one thing that I also want to point out is that the side panels, they have these little tabs that you just press in and it just releases the panel.
Mm-hmm.
It's so simple. Yeah. It makes it so you don't have thumb screws on the side. It makes it so you can easily remove the panel too. A lot of times I've actually dropped the glass panel when I'm undoing that last thumb screw. Mm-hmm. It just like falls and then I crack it or I mess up the table that's under it. You know? So I really like that design too. I just, like, again, this case, it should come with some fans. Especially, it should come with RGB fans that go in the top because that's where you're going to want to show them off. You know, yeah, like I said, this is just for a specific type of person. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, very specific because I don't even think the shape necessarily lends itself to that many different types of builds, really. Like, this has to be absolutely everything that you want. The rounded shape is cool, but it's really not a popular shape at all. Like,
and it's restricted. There's no, I mean, for your front fans, there's really no airflow
at all.
And we've seen that. So many companies have put it, they want to go for the looks, you know, but there is no airflow at all in the front. I mean, there's a small vent at the bottom of the case, but no way is it enough if you're having like two high-end GPUs in there. There's no way that you're going to get enough air into that case.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Even with the amount of volume that it brings to the table.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, this is very specific. I would like to see a top vent design like that on other cases. I assume it's very hard to do, and it's very expensive to do as well.
I just don't, honestly, I don't see what it really brings to the table either. It's a cool factor, but like, it's not like necessary.
It's not. No, not at all. That's anyone makes things that are very not necessary. Yeah. But it's a cool factor. I think that it is really cool. And if you install RGB fans up there, they kind of show through on the side, which looks really cool. You know,
I guess it lets you have an acrylic top and still vent it well.
Yeah.
Or acrylic, excuse me, tempered glass.
Glass. So yeah, it like, again, the case has its shortcomings, but it is what, like, it's unique, it's cool, yeah. And it's just expensive. Yeah. That's just what it is.
Yeah, I just don't think that it's my, like, Inwin always has a case like one of, like this, like every year there's a case like this, and I just I don't know if this is my favorite. It's definitely not my favorite of them. So
no. What's interesting is, so the ones that come out every year, Computex, are called their Signature Series. This is not part of the Signature Series.
This launched at CES, yeah.
Yeah, at CES. So it's not part of the Signature Series.
But
I don't know why.
But it's along the same frames as like the S frame or some of the others that like that. So they're more mass produced than like the Transformer one or art project one.
So very cool case. We also released a video review of it, so if you don't want to read the review, we have the video review, which is on the first page of the review page, so you can check that out as well. So let us know what you think, but like I said, I think it's very unique. It should come with fans based on its price, though. It just should. And I think they could have done a lot because they have their own RGB fans, and they could have really had this as a showpiece for those fans, especially in the top. Just didn't do it.
Yeah, they have several different lines of fans, actually.
Yeah. So that would have been nice to see that. But also, this week, we reviewed a new NVMe SSD, and it's actually, by all intensive terms, not new. this is the WD Black SN750. This is the latest WD Black drive. So this is the third NVMe drive called the WD Black. We took a look at the one from last year, which was called WD Black as well. they added the SN750 probably because people are going to continue to get confused when we reviewed it last year, we said, why is it called the same thing as the one before?
Right.
So some naming in this just needed to happen. It just makes it easier so you know which drive you're buying. But this is actually the same components as the one launched last year. Exact same components. All they did was optimize the firmware and added new branding. Go ahead.
So you could flash your old drive to this new firmware, in theory.
You can't, though.
Well.
But I believe it's blocked somehow because, again, that's what people would do.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, they needed a way to have a new product, and they're, everything in this drive is designed in-house. It's all made by WD.
Yeah.
And that their architecture, this would be this is, you know, last year was the first gen architecture, and it's still relatively good. And they just needed something for people to buy. So they kind of rebranded it. It's really geared towards gamers now and everything like that.
Yeah.
The optimization did help performance a little bit. So you get a little bump in performance, not a ton, but you get some. And it's competitive with the new drives based on the new Silicon Motion controller. You'll see a ton of drives that come out with that controller. It competes against that very well. But it is kind of sad that we're not seeing, you know, this is like what AMD used to do with their graphics cards was like, this is a rebrand of a rebrand of a rebrand.
Yeah.
Kind of the same thing, which is... I'm not a huge fan of, because you want to, you know, 96 layer NAND is coming out. This uses 64, same as last year. You would like to see something new, but I do like their branding. I really like that WD is finally realizing that, hey, let's target something towards gamers. You know, like that.
I think in general, you don't have to, it doesn't necessarily have to be towards gamers specifically, but when you start to move that direction, the drives just look so much better.
Yeah. So we actually received a version that doesn't have a heatsink, and the one that has a heatsink isn't even out yet. When we initially talked about this, because we did talk about it on the podcast, we were super excited because the heatsink is designed by EK and looks pretty awesome. But we did that version's not available yet, and that version carries a $30 premium.
It's probably worth it.
Yeah, I think the thing that I was considering is, you know, most gamers are installing this right below their graphics card, and that area just doesn't have a lot of airflow, and it's going to get hot. So having the heatsink is great, and the heatsink does look great, too.
This is one where you would, if you have the choice, you'd probably install it where you can see it. Even without the heatsink, I think this is one of the better looking NVMe drives out there, but definitely with the heatsink, it looks fantastic.
Yeah. So WD, what they did is they made the sticker on it, non-generic looking like all the other ones that are like white and just like,
yeah.
I mean, it's a sticker that's made to look like a label, not a sticker to tell you what it is. Like it's made to look like it's part of the drive. And they did a really good job at that. So if you do have it installed, it's still not, it's not going to look as bad. And Samsung does the same thing. Samsung's drives also look like the sticker is part of the drive or made to be shown, I guess. I like it. On one hand, it makes sense that they kind of had to rebrand this drive. On the other hand, it kind of sucks that it's the exact same components, and they didn't offer a firmware update for people who have last year's version, right?
Yeah, when they've made literally no changes to it, I don't know. That's not even like a TikTok situation. That is actually very similar to the old AMD slap a new label on it and put new firmware out for it.
Yeah. But one thing that this drive does have, it does support their SSD toolbox software. And one thing that's interesting about this drive specifically in that software is there is a gaming mode toggle.
Really?
Basically, if you enable gaming mode, it disables low power states.
Oh.
So if you have games on this drive and you're loading you know, Windows is on another drive, but you have games on this drive. Mm-hmm. You go to load up your game, it has to wake up first. And while that's not going to take all that much time, it still has to do that if it's in a low power state. So you just eliminate, you know, I don't know how long it would be, but it's not going to be long. But you just eliminate that little bit of time that the drive has to wake up.
For sure.
So that's pretty cool. But the toolbox software is actually one of the better ones that I've seen. It allows you to update firmware. It allows you to do a secure erase. It shows you drive performance, all that kind of stuff. So like I said, it works really well. Again, like I said, I like the drive. It's just one of the fastest ones that we've tested. It tests right up to, you know, its advertised speeds and stuff like that. But just it's a rebrand, you know. Yeah. So check out that review. I like it. If you're looking, you know, for a high performance NVMe SSD, this is definitely one that I would recommend for you because it is super fast. So
yeah, and definitely. I think you've got that at the original Black launched at $450.
Yeah, so it's actually $200 cheaper now. Yeah, the 1 terabyte. Basically, this is launching a year later, and we obviously have cheaper pricing on NVMe drives now. So last year's model, the 1 terabyte, launched for $459, I believe, or $449, and this one, the 1 terabyte model, is launching for $249. So big difference in pricing too with these. So
is this probably tied in with the whole NAND controversy?
Yeah, and I mean, just prices are going down in general for this type of hardware. It's just one of those things. Yeah. So that brings us to Case Mod Friday, and that's where we discuss a builder mod that's been completed in the community. And this one I really like. This is called the Greenhorn Dragon, and it's a build inside of the Lianli V3000, which I really like this case. It's been out for a while now, but nice water cooling build, a lot of modification, different color coolant and two different loops going on. Mm-hmm. I don't know how, like, you're always one to talk about the water cooling. How do you feel about that?
I draw on the floor for the back panel, man. This thing is fantastic.
Yeah, the lines on the in the back are so good. So he's using hard tubing, and he has the hard tubing coming into obviously the rear of the case or the back side of the motherboard tray. And they're even on the back there where you can kind of just be like, whatever, the lines are really, really nice. And he has,
cables are perfectly all of his,
cables are perfectly run and everything like that. That this is a build where you definitely want to check out the rear of it. Cause it is.
The front's good. Yeah. The inside's good. It's a bit busier than the back. So I think that's why I was just drawn to the back first. Looks like he's got Aurora coolant in there and then some green. Maybe it might be green Aurora even. The silver Aurora on the GPU loop, and that kind of loses in the one photo, it loses its distinct color because it's got green LEDs going. So that's kind of unfortunate, but otherwise it's pretty cool build. It's pretty blingy. Chrome fittings. He's got the what is that? Memory? Is it chroma? No, the G-Skill Triad.
Trident Z Royal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's actually got the gold in there, doesn't he? One of the photos. Thought it was silver, but he's got the gold.
And then he made a custom mid plate that looks to be acrylic, and he has some lights to just kind of make it.
Yeah, it's underlit. So, yeah, it's that nice smooth lit table look going on in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice build for sure.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's, you know, this build's a little bit older, but like we don't see builds like this as much. I don't know, like big cases, I would say, 'cause this is a big case.
Yeah.
You know, we were just talking about case labs. Like, I miss those big builds, case labs.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a 480 in the top, 480 in the bottom. Like, it's fantastic. Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, we just don't see it enough. So definitely check this one out. A really awesome build, and really, really just, I feel this is like well-polished build.
Very.
So definitely check this one out. And we'll move on to news this week. The big thing we actually was announced today is that AMD will be keynoting at Computex. So AMD CEO Dr. Lisa Su will be giving a keynote at Computex, and she will be either launching or unveiling at least four different product lines. The one we've kind of known and assumed for a while is Ryzen 3, or third generation Ryzen, based on the Zen 2 microarchitecture that kind of we all kind of know is coming out around Computex time. Then that should be, we should see an announcement on the Epic Enterprise processors, which are based on the new Rome MCM. That's going to be exciting for enterprise people. And then apparently we will get in either an unveiling or a reveal on Radeon Navi, which is the next generation GPU based on the 7-nanometer fabrication process. So this seems like the big push. This is going to, you know, this is going to be, you know, CES was like, we have a GPU, but it's not going to be, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not Navi. It's old architecture. So just down to that 7-nanometer fabrication on that. This should be interesting. I believe Navi is out in enterprise right now, correct?
I'm not sure.
Thought it was. Maybe I'm wrong. But yeah, that'll be interesting to see that. It'll really be the I don't know. We kind of like think about this and say this every time, but it might be the death knell or the go ahead for them on GPU, because it kind of feels like they need something now.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with Intel ramping up GPU stuff, it's going to be another player.
Yeah.
And that's obviously going to take it. You never know what's going to happen, but I mean, it could take market share away, and this is going to be huge. I mean, this is going to be one of the biggest events for AMD. Obviously, like when they announced first gen Ryzen, that was huge.
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to be, we have awesome CPUs. Here's our new GPU stuff. Like, hopefully it's that. Hopefully it's not, here's our GPU, but you're, you know, like,
yeah.
Like it always
like,
is. So,
like, here's a GPU. It doesn't do anything.
Yeah, but definitely going to be I'm super excited for Computex this year for both Ryzen and Navi stuff. I don't know what else to say. I'm excited. I think it's going to be a great show for AMD. So, really, really excited to, you know, for that time to come. So,
yeah, really looking forward to seeing benchmarks from Ryzen 3000.
Yeah, and we should see a lot of those leaks coming up to the show. That's usually kind of how it happens.
Yeah.
So definitely stay tuned for
look
that.
Look forward to June.
Yeah. Also on the GPU front, the release date for the GTX 1650 has been revealed. It's going to be April 22nd. This is going to be a sub-$200 graphics card from NVIDIA, kind of just filling that bottom line. This should be a 1080p card, being able to do all your games at 1080p. It's expected to replace the current GTX 1063 gigabyte, and then compete with, of course, AMD cards around the same price point. It is expected to have 4 gigabytes of GDDR5 memory. So going to see that as well, filling out that bottom segment. Not something to be super excited about, but, you know, if you are looking for cheaper graphics that can be do 1080p, this is going to be even cheaper than the 1660, sorry.
Yeah,
1660 and 1616 Ti. So yeah, like I said, you'll have another card to fill out that bottom line.
Should be
so this should be the last one. This should be the last one to come out, but we've heard some other rumblings. But this should be the last card to fill out.
What, 179 probably?
For this... Yeah, probably 179. Like really, like, you know, like the Strixes and things like that probably would be 199. Mm-hmm. You know, because like a 1660, nice card is 249 instead of 219. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I don't.
It all
do you think they bother? I guess they probably will. Like, what's the point? What's the point of like a Strix version of a 1650 though? Like. I don't really see it. It looks cooler. Yeah,
it is slightly overclocked. I don't know.
But
I mean,
like,
there's
no chip that's better than any other. Not down here.
Yeah. So that's just that. I mean, you're gonna see them. It's. I assume it's going to be a completely partner-based launch too. So they're going to have, each company is going to have three or four cards, you know, from all of their lines. That's what we've seen with this, with all these launches. It's like, you're going to have an ROG Strix. You're going to have whatever, you know, all the, it's just going to go down the line like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that will be April 22nd. So if you're looking to save even more money on a GPU, especially if you're only doing 1080p, it will do 1080p, I assume, for almost all titles. So
I would hope so.
Yeah. So you can let me know what you think of this next story. So Galaxy unveiled their Hall of Fame M.2 SSD, which, of course, being a Hall of Fame, is white, with a white PCB, mm-hmm. and it has a white heat sink, but the heat sink has a heat pipe in it, which is something we've never seen on an M.2.
It has a copper heat pipe, which I assume makes contact with the, it's got to have a heat spreader, controller. Right? That makes contact with the controller. It's, it looks terrible though.
Yeah, I see, like, I like it if the heat pipe wasn't,
that's
there.
What I'm, yeah, that's what I'm referring to. The,
or like they could have painted over the heat pipe.
Yeah, I mean, you do lose performance that way, but
yeah,
I just played it, maybe.
Yeah,
it just, yeah, it just looks really really terrible.
It's just like, it reminds me of a design from like years ago. They're like, oh, we're gonna try this.
Well, it's just this, like, it's just a single like sliver that runs up the middle, and it's like, I don't know. I just feel like it looks bad. It doesn't, yeah, it doesn't feel centered. I don't think it is. It's, I don't know. I think you could have done better with it. It seems like a late addition almost. Like the thing didn't perform. And you're like, oh, let's stick a heat pipe in it.
Yeah, it's just, it's weird. Like, I like the idea of providing the best cooling possible for an M.2.
Yeah.
But this is like a Hall of Fame card. This is like, you know, Hall of Fame from Galaxy is like their highest end stuff, and it kind of looks not that great. Again, you could have, like you said, plated the heat pipe.
It just shouldn't be copper.
Yeah, or you could have like put something over that
or
piece.
Yeah, bury just, it in the aluminum heatsink.
Yeah, or something. I don't know, but. It's super fast drive, available in 1 terabyte and 2 terabyte models. I love the white PCB.
Mm-hmm.
You can barely see it, but I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is only going to be available in China to start, and then hopefully you'll see it under the Galax and KFA2 brands, you know, over here. So yeah, just kind of disappointing. I don't know. But we'll move on from that, and we'll talk about Asus. And we talked about it last week in the podcast about their live update being compromised by hackers. They finally put out a statement, and they put out a tool that you can use to check your system and everything like that. And they've also put more people on their customer service, so you can contact them directly if you have any concerns. Huh. They said it was only a, again, in their press release, said it was a small number of devices. Kaspersky Lab said it was 500,000.
I'm going to lean more towards Kaspersky.
Yeah, and it said the latest version of Live Update has been checked, double-checked. You know, it's not, there's no issues with it. But again, it took Kaspersky Labs putting this out for Asus to put this out, because this came out a day later. After Kaspersky had already talked to Asus to try to solve the problem internally without making it a PR nightmare, which it turned into.
Yeah, their non-response turned it into one.
Yeah, so, I assume, you know, if you think that your system has some type of malware on it, they have a tool that you can use to check and everything like that, and just, you know, run your antivirus, run, you know, your malware bytes or whatever you use, and just double check all your stuff and make sure you have the latest version of Live Update. That's what we can tell you to do.
Yeah, or just don't use Live Update.
Yeah, or don't use Live Update.
Do some manual updating. It's not too hard.
No, it's not. And actually, Asus is one of the companies that does a better job at just making, like, all their stuff's easy to find. You go to the product page and you go to support. Like, you don't have to go through this, all this stuff. And their stuff's up to date. There are some manufacturers that still have outdated drivers on the website. So,
well, you got to make that stuff available.
Yeah. So, but yeah, talking about something else that happened, and it was weird that, that Corsair actually released this news on April 1st, which is April Fool's. But it is like a real deal thing. Some of the Corsair H100i RGB Platinum SE coolers could possibly have a leak issue. And of course, water and computers don't go together in the sense of...
Yeah.
You don't want leaky components.
You don't. It's also not something to panic about. Your components will take... they'll take a lot more liquid abuse than you think. This is it, but you definitely don't want any leaking, that ongoing leaking. You want to get that taken care of.
Yeah. So what happened is that some of these coolers, a specific lot of these coolers show signs of faulty seals, which would cause the coolant to leak between the tubes and the sleeves. It says that it's less than 1% of what's been produced. They give you the lot number, so you can check your cooler. It's the sticker is actually on the cooler, so you can check it. And they'll give you a free replacement and cover shipping. So
that's good. It's also specifically, remember, it's just the white one. So if you didn't buy the white,
If you didn't buy the white one, then you're good.
Yeah,
that's the RGB Platinum SE.
Yes,
of the H100i.
Not just the platinum.
But it's good for them to cover shipping. I like that.
Well, I would, I mean, 100% hope so.
Yeah,
I almost think that like, hey, dude, the hassle of changing this out, like, throw me something as well. A little coupon, gift certificate, maybe.
Yeah, give me an RGB strip or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So if you do have this cooler, we have the thing that shows you the lot number, so you can check yours. So be sure to check it if you have one.
Cool.
And we'll move on to gaming stuff. And of course, PAX East was this past weekend. And one of the more interesting things, it wasn't really announced, but it was kind of put online during the show, was that Valve will be coming out with their own VR headset.
Gimmick.
It's good. So it's obviously going to have to compete with Oculus and HTC, who are the big players.
Gotta watch out for the Vive.
Yeah.
Sorry. I do know that it's Vive.
Yeah. Derek used to call it the Vive for years. Yeah, I did. So. So this is going to be called the Valve Index, and there is a page for it on Steam, which you can check out, and it says, upgrade your experience May 2019. After doing some digging, it looks like it's going to be announced in May and will ship on June 15th. No word on pricing. It will have like those Knuckles controllers. There was a page found for the controllers, no pictures, but it's going to have its own controllers.
That has to.
We really don't know much else about it. It appears that it's going to, will have two wide angle cameras and inside out tracking. So you won't need like those base stations or other cameras to set up.
Good.
You know, it's going to work a lot like this second generation Oculus headset.
Right. I don't know if you mentioned price, because price is rumored to be right around $400.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I saw that somewhere. I don't know where. Yeah, so that's a very competitive price, and it's supposed to have, I do believe it's supposed to have a pretty high resolution display as well.
Okay.
So
yeah,
we will see.
I didn't see any of that, but of course, you know, in May we're gonna get all the info. And like I said, this was, we talked about it last year, and we did talk about it on the podcast last year, that there was this internal email that got leaked about it, and we were like, I don't know. But it looks like it's all coming together here, you know, for Valve. So we're going to get some hardware from Valve. You know, we did see we saw the Steam machines, and then we saw the
controller
broadcast.
We
saw the Valve controller.
Talking about the Steam Box.
We saw the Steam Machines controller and the that allows you to play games on your TV. What's that called? I have one. I bought one. I forget what it's called.
I thought that was the Steam Machine.
No, I have the Steam Machine was Yeah, whatever they were called.
Well, I remember Steam Machine now.
Yeah, Steam Machine was more of a PC that ran
yeah,
Linux.
Yeah, you reviewed it, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I have an Alienware one.
Yeah, Steam. What's that Streambox called, though?
Yeah, whatever. They had their Streambox, and now they're going to have a VR headset.
Steam Link, yeah.
Steam Link, yes. Steam Link.
It actually worked really well.
Yeah, extremely well, actually. So we'll have another product. Maybe Half-Life VR? Possibly?
Sure. I mean, that would be a reason for you to buy it. They got to have something something to pull you. I think Oculus is probably 70%, 60%. I'm kind of just guessing based on popularity that I've seen. 65-70% of the market between the two that are real, the big players right now. And so to carve a piece out of that, I mean, they have pretty established ecosystems at this point. So
yeah, and the thing is, it would be nice. It would be like bundle this with Half-Life VR.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. You know, you get a value add there. Maybe you could get a discount code for Half-Life 3 if it ever comes out.
I mean, yeah, they can definitely throw a discount code in there for something that's never going to come out.
Yeah, I know, right? but yeah, so it's cool. It's always good to get another player in the market. Yeah. And it does bring... It makes the market better. It allows them to compete. So we'll see if it competes with those two. I think you're right. I think Oculus does have the bigger market share in the VR world. So,
I think if the $400 price is correct, it's already doing good things because it's driving that price down. Because I believe the new Oculus price is supposed to be down in that range as well. So.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's good. Becoming much more available. The thing that I would like to see develop for VR is some sort of a cumulative home, like launching station where you can actually go hang out with people from all the other. In fact, maybe the Oculus one does work that way. But like, so,
I have no clue.
So like, to me, VR is like, it's an experience. Obviously, it's more than just launching a game and playing. It's an experience. Like, you want to be able to go hang out in it, and to do that, you need somewhere where everybody can go. We should probably have Jack on for this. Our buddy Jack is our VR guru.
He's really into it. Yeah, yeah. I'm not really big into VR. But hey, maybe I'll get one of these and try it. Who knows. But also at PAX, I would say for PC people, the biggest announcement was Borderlands 3. Mm. It was made official, and they released a developer trailer on it. It looks awesome. I really love the cel shading of that game. I like the idea that you can get a gun in the game that maybe somebody else will never, ever find. It looks like the same style of game. It looks like it's gonna play really well. All the levels look cool. So
yeah,
that's
how many
super
guns
exciting.
They said how many guns? It's a potential.
I forget.
It's like, am I wrong when I say like a million something?
Yeah, or like something crazy.
Yeah, something insane. So it's pretty cool.
And then yesterday, which was April Fool's, mind you, the Borderlands 3 Twitter account posted that it's their tweet, which was a picture of a wall. It said, "Mayhem is coming September 13th. Pre-order now for gold weapon skins pack." And then they deleted the tweet. So it looks like the game is going to come out September 13th.
Mm.
And then a video was released that showed, it's just like a little promo video on Twitter, but in the bottom corner, there's an Epic Games logo, which means that this game could be exclusive to the Epic Games Store. We don't know.
It's on again. It's on.
But one of the CEO of Gearbox has said that he is a fan of, he's not against different launchers for different games. He's not against it. And we have some of his tweets in the post that you can read. You know, so will it be exclusive? We don't know. Will it be available across all launchers? We don't know. But it looks like from this video that it is going to be on the Epic Games Store.
Could be. Although I thought that Epic had said they're not doing any more exclusives.
No, there was just another one announced today. So
we just, I swear we just talked about that last week. Epic is Epic's liars.
Epic, and there was like three or four more. There are three or four more announced at PAX that we didn't really cover, but yeah, I mean they're going after a lot of people, which makes sense. They should to build their ecosystem. They're gonna have to get big games on there. I just, you know what I mean.
Well, they need the games, but like they don't have to be exclusive.
Yeah, but no, Anno 1800 went exclusive. It was announced today. That's a real-time strategy game, which is pretty big following. I had the future one. This one's in the 1800s, but I had the future one. That was announced today as an exclusive on Epic Games as well. But Borderlands 3, I'm super excited for it. I will probably get it. It's like the original looting game, right? I'm excited for it. I don't know about you.
But... Not really.
Oh, you never played any of them?
Yeah, I did. I didn't really like it. I didn't really like the first one. I got bored. Like
maybe
I might have played an hour.
Oh really? Yeah. I really liked it. So just put them in stuff. We'll probably stream some when it comes if it comes out on September 13th, which hopefully it does. So I assume that we're gonna get. They're supposed to announce the official date tomorrow, which is the 3rd. So we'll probably get that detail tomorrow, and then we'll probably get even more information on the game at E3 later this year. So exciting! I'm excited for it. The other gaming news is that the Master Chief Collection for PC. We already talked about how it's gonna be announced for PC. All of the games will be available by the end of the year. Sweet. That's pretty exciting because they talked about doing a staggered release of the games, which I like that idea, but I don't want it staggered, like one this year, one next, you know.
Yeah.
They're all going to be one price for all of them, and then you'll get them as they come out. But they'll all be available by the end of this year, so we should see some pretty, you know, releases like maybe every month and a half or something like that to get all these games out by the end of the year. But that's exciting, too. If you're thinking about picking this up, you're not going to be waiting 5 years for a game to come out.
Yeah. Who is this coming out through? This isn't going to be a Windows Store exclusive, is it?
It is Windows Store and Steam.
Okay, good.
So you'll be able to pick this up on Steam. Yeah, the Steam page is already live. I don't know if you can pre. I don't think you can pre-order yet.
I probably wouldn't.
But the Steam page is up, so you can check it out.
Yes.
Yeah, but yeah, that rounds up our news for this week. Good mix of different stuff. Coming up next week, as far as reviews and content from us, I will be taking a look at the ASRock B450 Steel Legend motherboard. This is, of course, an AM4 socket motherboard. And this is the kind of like new B450 line from ASRock. It's going to give you a bunch of good features. It has RGB lighting, and the design is called Steel Legend, so it's kind of like steel looking. It's black PCB with silver accents. Pretty good, you know, overall pretty good board. So I'll have that for you, and then I'm also going to take a look at the Cooler Master CK530, which is basically like the poor man's MK730. So you don't get a wrist rest with this. It has the same overall design, but it does not have Cherry MX switches. It has Gateron switches, which in my testing aren't that, like, they're not horrible. Gaterons are actually pretty good.
If you say so.
They're not horrible. I mean, I've seen some a lot worse mechanicals. So I think like in my mind it goes Cherry MX, Gateron, Kale, and I don't know what's
got the razor switch.
Yeah,
really, a razor switch. I
would say razor switch is second, then these, then but. But okay. In any case, this is a 10 keyless keyboard, same design as the MK730. You don't get a wrist rest, though. This has RGB backlighting. I believe it's $60 or $70. It's not that expensive.
It is cheap.
Yeah, it's $70. So it's not all that expensive. You're obviously saving money with the cheaper switches and the Gateron switches. But it looks like looks like a really good keyboard. I'm going to be testing it all this week, playing some Apex Legends, nice. Which will be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So give me a reason to keep on gaming.
What about some Firestorm?
I still haven't got on the Firestorm.
Yeah, neither yet.
But I like got one it. Two, and then I'm like, yeah. I mean, I'll play if you want to play. I'll play with you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't played Battlefield 5 Fires. I've seen a lot of people streaming it. I've heard good things. I just gotta, you know.
I've heard no things. I need to play it.
Oh, I'll play it with you.
Alright.
But yeah, that's what we have coming up next week. And we also have our worst PC setups article. That's of course where we, you know, go and check out some really bad PC setups, and it's kind of funny. So stay tuned for that. And of course, at the end of the podcast, we talk about if we did anything cool, saw any movies or anything we wanted to tell you guys about. That you got anything that you did this past week?
I did a couple. I have a couple items. I did watch one new movie. I watched the new Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. It is what it's called, isn't it?
I have no clue.
I gotta make sure. I'm pretty sure, but it's like, what if I'm wrong?
Even know there was a new Spider-Man.
Yeah. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. It actually came out last winter, I believe, around Christmas maybe. It won the Oscar for Best Animated Feature.
So it's an animated movie.
Yeah. So I had to check it out. Okay,
so it's not one of like the
No, it's not a live action. No.
Okay.
But you know, it won an Oscar, so like, yeah, I might as well see it. You know, I'm not a huge Spider-Man fan or anything. Just a nerd. So I checked that out. Really cool art style. It's not like it's 3D, but it's not. It's very comic book looking, but still modern at the same time. And decent story, nice. Decent voice acting, pretty good voice acting actually. So it's definitely worth a watch. And it's well received, and I agree with that. The other thing that I would like to tell you about is a podcast I've been listening to, Reply All. It's actually enormously popular, so I'm probably not telling you anything new. But if you're just an all-around nerd and you like digging into like the internet things and stuff, kind of, you know, right up our alley, the old Think Computers alley, check it out. Just very entertaining, deep dives into like simple concepts, so. If you're into that sort of
nice.
Thing.
I'll have to check that one out. I've been looking for a new podcast. So
yeah, it's a good one.
I'll have to check that one out. For me, I built the Inwin 915, and that was basically it.
I mean, yesterday you did something, right?
Well, yeah, I went. Yeah, I mean, that's nerdy. Not like tech-related. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's not really tech-related. I went on a little adventure to a waterfall and took some pictures, but that's not really tech-related. But yeah, nothing else but playing a lot of Apex. Finally got to level 60. I'm pretty pumped about that.
Dang.
But yeah, that is it, guys. As I always say, we have our full show notes page that has everything that we talked about. So if you want even more information, you can go ahead and click through. And if you're looking for us on your favorite podcasting software or app, it is just Think Computers, all one word. So until next week, catch you guys later.